I'm just so grateful how God has made this available to us to all be together. It's just such a blessing. And you know, as we had the list of people, which is you, of course, I prayed every day for all of you. And that was fun. Yeah, it was time consuming. Go to 1 Thessalonians, the theme verse, and I'm going to share on pray without ceasing. That's it. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, the theme verse for the weekend is pray without ceasing. Ceasing simply means without intermission. It's something that's a constant. God desires us as believers to pray constantly throughout our day, whether we're at work, whether we're not at work, whether we're taking a shower, when we wake up, when we're with our families, to pray without intermission. Just pray. That's God's word. I'd like to share a definition by Noah Webster, who wrote. He made the finest dictionary I've ever seen. And his definition of prayer was the primary use of prayer is to throw or to pour out. It's like throwing a ball. When we pray, that's what we do. We throw whatever it is on our hearts to God. It also means like pouring out a glass of water. I'm not going to do that now. I'll mess up the stage and my wife will bean me. So that's what it basically is. And believing is involved with all of it, as we'll see. In the Greek word for prayer, one of them is prosukomai. In the New Testament, it's used 87 times. It means to speak out loud. It means to utter. It means to ask. It means to talk to. It means to ask God for things, to pray to God. In Matthew, please, chapter 21. I'd just like to go through a little bit in the Word of God and share a little bit on prayer. It's a massive subject. It's in all over the place in the Word of God. And so we'll do our best to share what we can. In verse 22 of Matthew 21, Jesus Christ said, and most of you know this, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. Believing ye shall receive. So there is believing involved in a big way when you pray. And I want to go to Hebrews 11 to show this a little further. Hebrews 11. Let your fingers do the walking. Hebrews 11, and in verse 6 of Hebrews 11, it says, but without faith, without believing, pistis, it's impossible to please God. So believing must be pretty important if we want to please God, don't you think? Hello? So, without believing, it's impossible to please God. And let's read the rest of the verse. For he that cometh to God, that would be us, must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's a great, great verse. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. The words that he is means exists. When you come to God, you got to believe that God is there, that he is listening, that you got a ball to throw to, God. You got a heart to give to God. Got a prayer to request God with believing. You got to believe he exists. Otherwise, you're praying to air, and that would be silly. You don't talk to imaginary friends, do you? Maybe. Okay. Well, there's healing. He that cometh to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He that cometh to God. Everybody who approaches, everybody who prays, everybody who asks God stuff in prayer, you got to believe. And we got to believe when we're praying, if we want to, that he's there, that he really is there. Go to 1 Peter 5. You got to believe that he's there. Steve mentioned that prayer jar. It's cool to put the date down too and what got answered. And it could be the smallest little thing or the greatest little thing. Chapter 5, verse 7 of 1 Peter says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Again, casting is in the sense of throwing it, just giving it all to God. To place upon, casting means to place upon. To give something up, give it up. Or to throw away, throw something away. You know, when you go in your kitchen and you got a, what are those things called, trash cans? And you got a bag of stuff in it. You know, bless you. And you got a bag of stuff in it and it gets full. You take it, you tie it, and then you throw it into the other big garbage can. And eventually, these incredible people come with big trucks and take it all away. We throw it to God. We throw our garbage and everything else to God. We just give it to God. Casting. And in this case of 1 Peter 5, it says, casting all your concern, all your cares. That's that Greek word merimeneo, which means all your overly concern, all your mental stress, all your anxiety, your frustration, where you're just too tense. Undue concern or anxiousness. And all these things are involved when we pray. We got to believe and know that he's there, that he exists. We got to know that. Otherwise, what are we doing? God is there when we pray, whether we're in a good mood, a rotten mood. I give you a rotten mood one that just got answered. I put in the bucket, the jar. Greg Genovese, I hadn't seen him in a long time. And in the morning, that morning, there was a morning about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was kind of mad. I missed Greg, but I was pissed that I hadn't seen him. And it really bothered me. And I said, God, I need to see Greg. I need to hear from Greg. And I don't know if I said in the name of Jesus Christ, but it was a prayer. And I know it was a deliberate prayer. So I worked out and I go to Salad Works. Who walks in Salad Works? Greg Genovese. I stood up and went, yay, God. What an answer to prayer. I mean, what a great answer to prayer. I gave it to God. I wasn't in the best of moods. And he answered my prayer, and it really, really blessed me. So we got to believe that he's there and he exists, and we just give things, knowing that he careth. The word careth in 1 Peter 5, 7 is, makes you the complete object of his interest. When we pray, see, God can do this. He focuses his attention. He directs his attention toward you, the one who's casting all his care. It's like you're the only one. That's our God. He can do that. We can't, you know. But God can. And we do that. He focuses on our prayer. He focuses on our heart. He focuses on our desire or need or whatever it is. And he completely pays attention to you, to me, to us as a believer, as believers. He pays attention to what you're saying. It's like you're the only person in the world. And he knows your heart. He knows. And so when you cast your care on him, he pays attention as if you're the only person in the whole wide world. Prayer is also to ask God with your heart for a favor or something you desire. You know, it's got to line up with the word. You know, 20, you know, Maseratis might not. Maybe. I don't know your need. But he does. So you talk things over. It's just talking things over with God. That's one way to pray. Anything and everything. Talk over things that you may not even talk over with your closest friends. And it's an expression. You know, it's to address God with respect. He's not your whipping boy. He's God. There has to be a deal of respect when we go to God. You understand? Just like it would be as if you were a child and you were talking to your father. You sit on his lap, but you know he's dad. He loves you, but you know he's dad. If you know what I mean. And it's to have specific requests. Go to him with certain requests. And when you go to God with tremendous thanksgiving. Because after prayer without ceasing, it says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You see? In everything that we do, when we go to God, we go to him with thanksgiving. And I remember my first or second year in New Jersey going to a Rutgers fellowship when Michael Gilmore and Tony Hunt lived together. And Tony taught on thankfulness. And he taught, in order to be thankful, you have to be thankful to someone for something. I'll never forget that. It's simple and it's obvious, but it's nice to have been broken down that way. You're thanking someone for something. It's an expression of how great God is when we pray. You know he's almighty. You know he is able. You know he is willing. You know his desire is to help your heart, to help in areas of concern, interest, and need. Every area of your life he's interested in. He wants to take care of it for us. I don't know why we hesitate, but sometimes we do. But I know one reason. You think you're too bad. Well, maybe, but not for God. Maybe we all stink, but not too stinky for God to help. He loves us in spite of us sometimes. And we also go to God on behalf of others. Boy, that's a tremendous, like I was sharing how we prayed for you every day. We go to God on behalf of others, thanking him for all he's done for us, all he's done for the believers. We thank God for how wonderful the believers are. It's all these things and a whole heck of a lot more. Some things I've written down that I've heard through the years or made up myself. I thought I'd read. And one of the greatest books on prayer I know is In His Presence by E.W. Kenyon. You can get it in the bookstore if you want to. I love this book. It's very simple. And if he is ever off on the word, it's very easy to see. It's not like you have to be a brain surgeon to understand it. It's pretty simple. But he made many of these statements. The call to prayer is the Father's invitation to visit with him. Prayer is us visiting with our daddy. That's what it is. We're visiting with our Heavenly Father. And I'm sure when you pray in your private prayer life, your prayers don't consist, oh, my most gracious, heavenly, loving, loyal, wonderful, all-creative, all-powerful, almighty God. I mean, maybe that is how you pray. But when I pray to God, I just talk to him. He knows who you are, and he definitely knows who he is. He's got a pretty good idea who he is, you know. Would you think? Prayer is our crying, our need crying out for help. Prayer is the living word on the lips of believing. I think Dr. Werwolf said that. Prayer is asking God to do what he said he would do. Isn't that neat? Prayer is asking God to do what he said he would do. When we pray, we're coming boldly into God's throne room of grace and are standing in his presence. Prayer is fellowship with the Father. Prayer illuminates the Word of God and illuminates the mind. It sure does. Prayer freshens and heals the body. It just is a great way to live, live in the spirit of prayer. George Mueller said that, right? Didn't it? Wasn't that him? To see a need is to have a call to pray. What a great statement. To see a need is to have a call to pray. The only two ways I know to get to know God is by his word, whether written or whether he would give us word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and prayer. I don't know any other two ways to get to know God. You can look at the stars all you want, and they'll bless you because they're so beautiful. It's something God made. Trees are nice. Oceans are nice. Jersey City's nice. You know, it's all nice. It's all great. But, you know, prayer, you really get to know him and by his word. Prayer is a call of love to come and fellowship with him. You know, he just wants to fellowship. He wants to, that intimate fellowship with us as believers. Prayer is like a child talking to a daddy that he trusts. And here's some of my silly ones. We have been given an invitation to the presentation of our hearts to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. That's pretty good. Given an invitation to the presentation of our hearts to God. When we pray, we're participants and recipients of God's love and goodness. We are participants and recipients of God's love and goodness. And prayer is being thankful for so many, many things. And prayer is one of the greatest ways to help someone else. We think it's our incredible counsel or quoting scriptures, or which is good, or quoting people. And those are all fine. But I'll tell you, one of the greatest services any human being could ever offer to any other human being is to pray for them. We do not take enough time to do this. I know this. And we need to spend more time doing it. It's a great way. If you're a leader or an elder or whatever you want to call it, somebody who oversees people, I don't know, you got to pray for people. Or if you want to be a good leader, take the time to pray. Yep. Prayer is the best way to prepare for anything, like something like this. You pray. You pray a lot before you make all your intricate plans. Because most of the time, our intricate plans are worthless compared to the counsel of God. And he just might have something to say about how he wants it done, as opposed to our great human acumen. Great quote, end of quote. Yeah, it's the best way to prepare for anything. And we do our best to invite God to help us with all our ways and doings. We seek God's counsel first in everything. Who is a man after God's own heart? David. And certainly the book of Psalms, you can peruse and peruse and look at all these different things that I just shared on prayer. He went to God knowing he was God, and he went to him with everything. He went to him when he was afraid. He went to him when he was going to war. He went to him when he was running for his life. He went to him when he thought he was going nuts. He went to him with confidence. He went to him on behalf of his people. He went to him with a whole heck of a lot. And I want to read a psalm that I especially love. I shared it with some of the staff a week ago or so. Psalm 25. If you'd like to go there, it'd be great. I'm going to read it and then explain a little bit about it. Unto thee, O Lord, verse 1, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Verse 4, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. And teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide. You see, now he goes from praying to just talking. He goes from praying to thinking. Do you ever do that? You're praying and then all of a sudden you think. Isn't that neat? And you'll see that throughout the Psalms. He'll be praying and then he starts talking. He's just expressing how he's thinking. And this, of course, was revelation. God wanted him to write it down. The meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. The paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Now he goes back to praying. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it's great. He brings this up several times in this psalm about how his iniquity was great. So what are you worrying about? What are you sweating? Is your iniquity so great God can't forgive you? He already forgave you. Keep walking, son. Verse 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease. His seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me. Have mercy upon me, for I am desolate. I'm afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins, third time at least. Consider my enemies, for they're many, and they hate me with a cruel hatred. In English, they hate my guts. They can't stand me. Oh, keep my soul. Deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. That's Psalm 25. In verse 1, he says, do I lift up my soul, O Lord? Do I lift up my soul? The word soul is nephesh. In Hebrew, nephesh. It means it's his living. It's how he is. It's his breath life. It's who he is. He said, O Lord, do I lift up my life? I give my life. I'm lifting my life to you, God. Oh, my God, I trust in thee. Trust. It means to be confident in, to feel safe. Boy, that's a great definition. To feel safe. I trust in thee. I feel safe with you, God. Isn't it nice to feel safe, whether it's in your own home or someone else's home? You just know you're safe. We're in God's home all the time. We have God and Christ in us. He's with us. He lives in us. Oh, well. It's a good thing. Verse 3. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Ashamed. Well, let none that wait. The word wait means to look for or to expect, to wait or linger for. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed, it means. Let them be ashamed which transgress. People that blow it, let them be ashamed. Verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Show me thy ways. Thy ways is thy path. It's the road. It's the directions. Like we had directions to get here. You follow the directions and you get there. Here, show me thy way. Show me thy direction. Show me thy paths. And the word paths means the way of living. Show me how to live. Greg wrote a song, Teach Me How to Follow. Teach me how to live. Is that it? Yeah. Good prayer. Verse 5. Lead me in thy youth. I wish he could lead me in my youth again. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. It's a great verse. Lead me in thy truth. Truth means anything that's really reliable or stable, which God's word certainly is. And teach me means to be trained. He's asking God to help train him. For thou art the God of my salvation, his wholeness, his victory, his prosperity. On thee do I wait all the day, all the time. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies. Remember just means remember thy tender mercies, thy compassion, it could read. and thy loving kindness. Loving kindness is goodness, mercy. That's good. That are ever of old, which means forever, long duration, everlasting, evermore, perpetual, a whole long time. His loving kindness are ever of old. His tender mercies are ever of old. Think of those things that God is saying, that David's praying and he's reminding God of what God is. Verse 7, remember not the sins of my youth, you know, when I was young, nor my transgressions according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness sake, for the beauty of you. It could read the beauty, for thy goodness, for thy beauty. God is beautiful. Yeah, good and upright is the Lord. Good means pleasant, agreeable. Upright means straight, correct, precise, fitting. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. He'll teach them. The meek will he guide in judgment, verse 9. The humble people, God can work with humble people. God does work with humble people. It's a good study in the Word. Boy, it's never good to be arrogant or cocky or think that you have all the answers and that you know everything about everything. When we get that type of attitude, number one, we don't get very blessed because we don't know everything. Most of us don't know much at all. We know the Bible's true and we share the Word of God, okay? Then we know we're on the right path, and that is what keeps a person humble, when we will listen to the Word of God, whether it comes from a young child, whether it comes from a senior citizen, whether it comes from anybody. If it's the Word of God and it's rightly divided, boy, we pay attention. We stop ourselves. You know, I use this incident a lot, but it's vivid in my mind because I was so mad at Jesse once. Well, once. I was so mad at Jesse. That's a figure. But one time I recall very vividly, and I screamed. I don't remember what I said. But I remember he was running up the stairs, and in the middle of the stairs, he stopped, and he looked at me, and he quoted me the Word. And it was awesome. I stopped in my tracks because he, in that particular situation and the Word that he shared with me, he was right and I was wrong. It doesn't matter who sings a song, it's that the song gets sung. And our song is the Word of God. That's it. And we take a step back when the Word of God, for instance, right now is being shared. That's it. Doesn't matter if it's me or you or anybody else sharing it. I'm looking so forward to being done with my teaching so I can listen to everybody else's. It's kind of true. I love teaching, but do you know how nervous I get? Huh. You'd think I wouldn't be, but I just, you can't sleep. You can't, it's like, But I love sharing God's Word. I'm not saying that I don't. Good. The humble are people that God can really, really work with, though. Verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Yeah, his mercy, his goodness, his kindness, his truth, his reliability, his faithfulness, his stability. And it says, that mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant, to keep. That's that great word, keep. Okay, good. What's it mean? It's the same word in Philippians where it says, be anxious for nothing, but by everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. What? There's a word, keep. What word is that? One person. It's the word keep. Can someone quote that from Philippians? Shall keep your hearts and minds, is that it, through Christ Jesus? That's the same word here. Keep means like a watchman. Somebody who watches over, for instance, the temple in the Old Testament. They would keep all outside influences from coming in. They wouldn't let people, they would let people out, but they wouldn't let any negatives. They wouldn't let any bad people. They wouldn't let any bad things enter into there. They were to watch. This is the same word. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant. We watch out for God's word. I'm a really nice person for the most part. But when it comes to the integrity and accuracy of God's word, man, you just don't let anybody mess with that. Anything else, fine. You know, I might not like it, but man, when it comes to the word, that's what we keep. That's what we watch out for. And in our administration, the mystery. Jews and Gentiles, fellow heirs and of the same body, knowing what we freely received. Boy, oh boy, don't let anybody ever mess with you on that. Ever, ever, never. You stand up, you keep, you watch out for the doctrine of the greatness of the mystery. Don't let anybody monkey with that, ever. Me, my personality, fine, take a stab. You're probably right, I don't care. But not the word of God, boy. That we don't stand for. We don't mess around when it comes to that. And you got to have some boldness once in a while. You know, you like to be a nice guy, great. Being a nice guy isn't letting somebody fall on their ass because they've wrongly divided the word and you're too afraid to say anything because you don't want to upset them. You can do it lovingly. You should do it lovingly. And you should be kind. But do not back off the word of God, man. If we're going to have something 50 years down the road, we need to stand on God's word and not let anybody take a crack of it ever, never, ever. And that includes people talking smack about your people, the people you fellowship. You don't let them do it. Even if they're right, you don't let them do it. Good. Nice day. Verse 11. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it's great. Well, it's great. The word great means much and many. So he had much and many. Join the club, David. Or we should join his club. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. That's some great verse. Who is he really that respects the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way. That means he'll teach in the direction. He'll teach in the path that he should go. And the path that he has chosen. The word chosen means you decide. You elect. You select. His soul, verse 13, shall dwell at ease. Yeah. You abide. You lodge. You rest. That's what dwell means. You abide. You live. You rest. You remain at ease. Pleasant. Ease means pleasant. Agreeable. Good. Happy. Glad. Prosperous. Kind. Man. Our soul, our life, our very life should dwell at ease. To quote a great New Jersey person, Tony Soprano, take it easy. Just take it easy. Verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. The secret, you know, the intimacy with God. And it says, he will show them his covenant. He'll show them his covenant. He'll declare it. He'll let you know. He already did. He's given us his word. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Mine eyes just means your heart, your innermost depth, are ever towards God. Boy, that's a great place to have our heart. He shall pluck my feet out of the net. The net is a trap. It's a trap. For a trap to be a really effective trap, it has to have good bait and it has to have good camouflage. Otherwise, it's a bad trap, right? Like, you know, the box and the carrot and catching the rabbit. You ever try that? All right. Well, good. All right. Try it someday with the string on the... Anybody try that before? Anybody? And then... Please, just so I'm not crazy. Maybe my dad had me do something, make me look like an idiot. Verse 16. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me. for I am desolate and afflicted. Desolate means I feel like I'm the only one. Afflicted means I'm lowly, I'm weak, I'm wretched, I'm down. And he asked him to give him mercy, to be gracious. The troubles of my heart, verse 17, are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look, man, there's not one of us in here who don't get to the place at times when we're really stressed out, when we're really bummed, or we're hurt, or we're angry, or we're something that isn't good. Okay? And so what does David do? The troubles of my heart, bring thou me out of my distresses. He doesn't call up 50 people. He calls up God. He talks it over with God. He goes to God first. Distresses just means stress. Verse 18, look upon my affliction and my pain. Forgive all my sins. My affliction, again, my misery, my trouble. And look means inspect. Look, God, look in here. Look at my pain. This word pain is like labor, like having a baby. I never had a baby, but I saw three babies born at least. I've seen more born, but three of my babies I saw born. And I saw the mom birth them, and that didn't look pleasant. That didn't look pleasant at all. I'm just kidding, Jill. Who else? Who else here is pregnant? Who else is pregnant here? Who? Just, it's the easiest thing. It goes by just like that. I'm not kidding. You walk in the room, 5 minutes later, there's the kid. It's easy. You hear this sound like this. That's it. And there it is, little baby. You might go, ooh, that's about it. That's about the pain. Or ouch, you know. Look upon my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. That just means take them. Just like I threw that ball. God wants to take. He takes them. He takes them. Consider mine enemies, for they're many, and they hate me with a cruel hatred. You know. Verse 20. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in who? Yeah. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. That's a great one. Verse 21, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Integrity means mean what you say and say what you mean. Don't lie. Integrity and uprightness. Uprightness just means right or straight. And let those things preserve. And that means to protect or to watch over, to take care of, to guard. Very similar to that other word. So again, we're participants like David. And we're recipients. We've been given an invitation to the presentation of our hearts to God. In Matthew 21:22, Jesus Christ says, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask, believing ye shall receive. In Mark 1:35, Jesus departed unto a solitary place, and there what? In Luke 18, Jesus Christ states that you should always pray and not faint. Don't faint. Stay with it. In the book of John, Jesus Christ prayed that God would sanctify them through thy truth, and thy word was truth. And then he follows up by even saying, for those in the future, who will be sanctified? He was praying not only for the believers then, but the believers in the future, talking it over with God. In Acts 4, we have the first recorded prayer after they got in trouble for just healing a lame man, who the result of that was about 5,000 that believed. Get thrown in the middle of the city council, get threatened and all this stuff. They come back to their own company. Who do you go to? They went to their own company. You see that later, and I think Michael's going to share the record where I think one of Peter, Paul, or Mary, one of them are in prison. And they, when he gets out of prison, He goes back, and a damn soul, I can't give the teaching away, but they were all there praying for him, and he went to where the believers were. In Acts 4 here, same thing. First recorded prayer, it says he went back to his own company. He went to the believers, and they prayed for more boldness to speak God's word, which was got him in trouble in the first place. And the result of that was the place was shaken where they were together, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Boy, oh boy. In Romans 1, verse 8, Paul thanks God that their believing would be spoken of throughout the whole world. What a prayer. In 1 Corinthians 1, 4, and 5, Paul thanked God always on their behalf that in everything they would be enriched in utterance and all knowledge. Fantastic prayer. In Ephesians, Paul prays that God would give them wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, and that they would know the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints was, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. In Ephesians 3, he asked God to grant them that they would be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, and that Christ would dwell in their heart, and they could be rooted and grounded in what?
Love.
Man, oh man. And to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, and to be filled with all the fullness of God, knowing that God was able to do exceeding abundantly above all they could ask or think, according to his wonderful, wonderful power. Yeah. Philippians 1:9, Paul and Timotheus pray that their love could abound more and more. Fantastic truth. Colossians 1, Paul and Timothy prayed that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and understanding, that they could understand, that they could receive revelation. Boy, what great prayers in Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians, that they could receive revelation, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and healings. It's there. We have it. What are we going to do? It's like the nose on my face. I got it. You have a nose? Well, you got Holy Spirit, spoken tongues, and you can hear it. And you can operate word of knowledge and need to live a successful, more than abundant life. That God could show you things that are humanly impossible for you by your five senses to know anything. And then by word of wisdom, being able to show you what to do about it. Discerning of spirits to be able to know what's going on spiritually any place you are. We live too far below par. I think prayer will elevate this. Look at the prayers here. Colossians, he prayed the same thing. Basically, he prayed in Ephesians. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul and Timothy thank God always for them all, that they remembered, and this is very important too. Paul and Timothy remembered their work of faith. They remembered when they were praying for God's people, they remembered that these people that they were praying for were people who believed God. They believed God. They didn't just talk about it. They believed God. They remembered their labor of love, which love takes work. They remembered their believing, their work of believing, their labor of love, and they remembered the patience of the hope of Jesus Christ's imminent return. Yeah. In 1 Thessalonians 3, they prayed exceedingly to see the believers and might perfect that which is lacking in their believing. What a joy it is to be able to share God's word with people who want God's word, need God's word, and you know you can help them. The greatest joy I have in my life, I think, is watching people change, watching people grow, watching people get delivered. I don't think there's anything greater in my life that I ever have experienced than to have the privilege of watching people like you grow. And certainly having been here for 500 years, I've been able to observe a lot of you. And as I was praying, I was thinking about all of you that I've had dealings with, which is most of you. How we've prayed, how we've talked things over, how we disagreed, how you got delivered, how people in your fellowship got delivered, how we always came back to the Word of God together. That's a beautiful thing to remember. Their work of believing, their labor of love, their patience of the hope of Jesus Christ's return. Go to Psalms, please. You're probably there. chapter 6, or 6th Psalm, rather. The 6th Psalm. Verse 9. God's word says, Psalm 6, 9. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. So we pour it out. We throw. We pour it out. We share our hearts and lives with God. We ask for specific things, supplications, for ourselves and for others. We're thankful to God for all the wonderful things he's done for us or someone else. And we make intercession for the saints by speaking in tongues. Paul said also in Corinthians, I would that you all spake with tongues, right? He also said, I will pray in the spirit and I'll pray with the understanding also. I'll sing in the spirit and I'll sing in the understanding also. I love that singing in the spirit. Then you don't have to remember words. That's my favorite way to sing. Of course, people think I'm Egyptian sometimes when I'm doing it. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, Albert. It's a compliment. Really. So this verse again says, pray without ceasing. I think you can see how and why God exhorts us to pray without intermission. Because we have so many things to talk over with God. We have so much to be thankful for. We have so many specific requests to take to him. And we have perfect prayer that has so many wonderful benefits. Rest to our soul, speaking the wonderful works of God, make intercession for the saints, and on and on. Proverbs 15. It sure is a blessing to be able to be with you. This is always so nice to be together. Proverbs 15, verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. God delights in our prayers. He loves to hear from us. He likes it when we check in. God loves it when we pray. The prayer of the upright is his delight. Psalm 18. Psalm 18, the 18th Psalm. You know, you just do your best when you share God's word. And then you pray that God will do the rest. Sure been a blessing to share it with you. Verse 19. It says, he brought me forth also into a large place, and he delivered me because he delighted in me. We have such a privilege to speak to our Father. We have so many, many things to be thankful for. And I'd just like to close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, tonight we're just so grateful to you for being together, for being able to be with each other around the greatness of your word. I ask you, Father, this night for all of our hearts being knit together in your love. I thank you for the family you've called us to. I thank you for the healing, wholeness, and deliverance that your word and your might and power can bring and does bring. I thank you for the beauty that you've made it available for us to just talk to you in our day-by-day times and wherever we are. Hear our prayers, and you answer our prayers because we know you exist and we know you reward those like us. So we're thankful and grateful for that wonderful privilege that we have to talk things over with you, the Creator. So thank you for a wonderful night tonight and great sleep for everybody. Thank you for your word dwelling in our hearts, and that we can saturate it in our hearts, and that we can share it with each other. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
There are times when troubled, and the trials of this world. Sometimes they set my flesh a-tremble, when it seems they shall prevail. Oh, thou that hearest prayer, unto thee I will come, and I will see your promise done. In the shadow of thy wings I will rejoice. O thou that hearest prayer. I will ask of you and will receive. Thou withholdest nothing good from me. You hold my soul in life through the day and in the night. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee I will come, and I will see your promise done. In the shadow of thy wings I will rejoice. O thou that hearest prayer. Come and hear, all ye that love God, and I will declare what he has done. I cried unto him with my mouth, and praised him highly with my tongue. For he has heard me. He did not turn my prayer away, nor his mercy from me. By his strength he set the mountains. By his power he calmed the seas. He is the God of my salvation. He is the only one I seek. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee I will come, and I will see your promise done. In the shadow of thy wings I will rejoice. O thou that hearest.